We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Shortlist.
You said he loved Hitler. They gave him an award. I'm just saying, I don't like Nazis, and I don't like what some of the mafias are doing either.
The newly elected incoming leader of House Democrats is a past election denier.
Our berserk wing of the Democratic Party and woke ideology says we have to get rid of oil and gas.
But they did good things, too. We're going to stop dissing the Nazis all the time.
Ugh, there's the soundbite of the day, I guess, across America yesterday. Kanye West. Completely crazy.
Elon has kicked him off of Twitter.
Elon has now banned him from Twitter. And he's not, to best of my knowledge, he's not banned anybody else since he's taken over yet, right?
Well, he banned a whole bunch of people for pretending that they were him, but then he reinstated them all.
For the people who want to be like Elon, but they'll never be as savage as Elon. That's for sure. Hey, glad you're back with us here on the Friday, the second day of December. And we made it to Friday. I had yesterday off. I appreciate Ryan Recker filling in. Had to take care of a little medical procedure for a family member, but all is well. So
that's good.
It's good. It's good. Glad to be back and glad that you're back with us. However you got here. So we were up on Facebook this morning. We got that problem straightened out on there, Carl.
Well,
sort of.
People are not seeing the comments.
Oh.
And then someone just tried to put an investment link up there that I just deleted and blocked. We are currently not on the YouTubes, but that is not an us thing. It is a them thing.
Oh, good. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, however you got here, I appreciate the fact that that you're with us. We got the Odyssey app. We got that. We're up on Twitter. You can go to the Twitter page, Mark Cox 971 at their Twitter. And we also take the show live there each morning as well. So,
and we're on the radio.
And, oh, by the way, 97.1 on your radio dial.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The FM dial.
Appreciate that, yeah. But one of the best signals in town. I'll just point that out for those of you who need to hear it.
Depending on where you live.
Yeah, you don't have to, turn around in circles and try to pick up the signal. Generally speaking. I picked up our signal all the way to Jonesburg, headed toward Columbia. Before you get to the big dip over there.
Right.
Because when you get past that closer to Columbia,
once you cross that hill,
there's some religious broadcasting station that you start picking up on our signal. Hmm. Yeah. And that's far out of our listening area, so it doesn't really matter. And I picked us up almost all the way to Mount Vernon, and you can pick us up pretty far south toward Perryville. So,
which is pretty interesting because our tower is based out of Florissant, but it's really in Shrewsbury.
Wow.
Okay.
Inside baseball that no one cares about.
Yeah, thank you. It doesn't matter.
Robert's listening in Vandalia today.
We appreciate that. Thank you, Robert. Thank you. We have people listening all the time, and obviously with the app, you can listen anywhere you happen to be, and you can download the podcast. Don't let me forget to mention that. If there's a segment you can't listen to, like we'll have Congressman Jason Smith coming up at 8:08. We're going to have Scott Fitzpatrick at the bottom of the hour here, the Missouri treasurer who's about to be sworn in as the Missouri Auditor. You can also download that podcast and listen a little later today if you need to. And you can do that in, off the Odyssey app or at 971talk.com. There's a link there for all of the podcasts for the radio station. We appreciate that. One more time, I'll mention it. Get your Brian Kilmeade tickets while you can, because it's going to sell out. We're running out of tickets. There were only 400 to begin with. It very quickly, half of them were gone almost immediately. And I was told on Wednesday we're getting close. So go to 971talk.com, look at the events tab, get the details. Brian Kilmeade's here next Friday night. And it's something you don't want to miss. If you're if you listen to Kilmeade, you know that he's the hardest working guy in the media business. I don't know anybody that works harder or longer. He's always on somewhere.
Mark, you're on the radio 7 days a week, though.
I know that, Carl. But some of that's recorded. This dude is live all the time.
No, you're here every day, Monday through Monday.
I am here every day, Monday through Friday.
Monday through Monday. Because you're on the air on Saturdays and Sundays. So,
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors does air on the weekends. My butt is not sitting in a chair in the radio station on those days.
You and Bo Matthews come in twice, do the same show exactly the same time.
That's right. No.
And then on two different stations.
Yeah. This guy does morning TV. He does a three-hour nationally syndicated radio show. He then hops on airplanes and flies across the country to do his, you know, now some of that self-promotion because he's selling his books, but still. And then he's got an evening show on Fox, and then he's on Outnumbered sometimes, and he's on Gutfeld sometimes. He's just on all the time. He's omnipresent on Fox.
Yeah.
So you get a chance to be in the same room with him next Friday night, it's my point, and get a great steak dinner and all that stuff to go along with it. Yeah, I don't know if you have had a chance to hear this yesterday. We talked a little bit about it, but now that Nancy Pelosi is not going to be Speaker of the House anymore, yay, can we get a high five on that?
Yes.
Now, thank you. Now that she's not going to be Speaker of the House anymore, you can depend on it, just like the fact that the sun rose this morning and will set at about 3 p.m. this afternoon, it seems like these days, that the whoever they replace her with will be the politically correct choice. They also don't seem to care that the guy they're going to replace her with, apparently, is one of those darned old election deniers. Have you ever heard of those before?
No.
Well, you might have thought that they only existed as Republicans or conservatives, but that's not the case, as we played for you many times. And one of the people who has many times gone out and denied election results is a guy named Hakeem Jeffries. That's who they're going to turn over leadership of the Democrats to, a radical left progressive who himself has been out there denying elections on more than one occasion. Go to cut 7 for me, Carl, please.
The newly elected incoming leader of House Democrats is a past election denier who basically said the 2016 election was, quote, illegitimate, and suggested that we had a, quote, fake president.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell, who I have my issues with these days anyway, but the fact that he is among many people who called Trump an illegitimate president, I mean, just right down the line. And Maxine Waters, I mean, there's a whole bunch of them, but apparently you're only an election denier if you are a Republican. So that is what you carry forward from that. Hakeem Jeffries will be the Democrat minority leader when the House gets sworn in January. And I mean, they can pick whoever they want. I'm just pointing out, you can't get mad at somebody like Carrie Lake or Marjorie Taylor Greene or anybody else who has issues, Matt Gaetz, with how the last election turned out, and then promote this guy to leader of your party effectively on the House side and just act like that didn't happen. You just can't do that. Well, they will do it anyway. We know that. Hey, by the way, let's go to cut number 2 and get to our guests, please.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We're back in business. Europe is back in business. And we're going to continue to create manufacturing jobs in America, but not at the expense of Europe.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Jim Carafano with us this morning. Jim, I guess I'd have to say that what Joe Biden said there would be the exact opposite of make America great again.
Well, look, I mean, it's just nonsense. First of all, Make America Great Again was never about creating jobs in America at the expense of Europe. Indeed, what we've seen is these economies are really very closely intertwined. And when the United States flourishes and prospers, our economy grows, and it has nothing to do with marginalizing Europe. But the problem was always the Chinese and this massive, you know, dependence on Chinese money. And I guess Biden doesn't get that. I mean, first of all, they put out a strategy which says China's our number one problem in the world. And then a week later, Biden says, oh, we just need to figure out how to get along with the Chinese. And the Germans are basically, you know, still sucking in Chinese money and pretending like it's not a problem. I don't know how many people have actually seen the film, you know, with that Peter Sellers character, Chauncey Gardner, who's like an idiot savant who everybody thinks is a genius. Yeah. And I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to be pejorative and just say, well, this is Joe Biden. But he literally gets up and says things which are completely disconnected from the reality of America's place in the world. And the media just sits there and says, oh, well, this is okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the latest thing he says is, I want to talk to Putin's plan, right? You know, it's a Macron command. This is their genius, you know, Machiavellian play. The Europeans are going to negotiate with Putin, and the Chinese are all in for this because the Chinese are going to get a seat at the table. So the Germans, who are taking a boatload of money from China, are going to negotiate with the Russians over Ukraine, with the Chinese there as the honest broker. Okay, that's going to end like super well for everybody.
I just don't know how you can trust Macron at this point, though. I mean, that I listened to him the other day. Here was one of his sound bites. Hang on.
Are you on the U.S. or the Chinese side? Because now, progressively, a lot of people would like to see there are two orders in this world.
Yeah. He doesn't want there to be two orders in this world. He wants a new one world order. So
he wants a French world order, which is nonsense. The French, you know, the French can't manage France, let alone the rest. Look, nobody's talking about this. Is first of all, they just lie that somehow this is like two world orders, like the Americans and the Chinese, and we innocent French are, you know, caught in the middle. This is nonsense. Here's the deal: We have countries that are interested in freely elected governments, human rights, you know, economies that are free where people get to, you know, benefit from their own. And we have China and Russia and Iran, which see these things as the obstacle, the expansion of power and influence, and they want to destroy them at any way they can. And then we have people like the French and the Germans who are like, hey, as long as I'm making money, I don't want to be bothered with this. This is nonsense. and Macron is the leader of nonsense. You know, France is the furthest away from everything. And therefore, I mean, it's almost like going back to the days of De Gaulle when De Gaulle put all of NATO. Literally, he could do that because NATO was taking care of all his problems, and he could just sit there and pretend like he was a king without pants on. And this is what Macron wants to be. But France has no power. They have no real influence. And they're just – and he really is just looking out for France. And he would throw the entire – the rest of Europe under the bus, let alone the United States. So, you know – and then Joe Biden, whether it's France or China or a weak ambivalent Germany, he just gets up and says everything's fine because we're all talking.
Well – I mean, Joe. Joe's not quite sure where Joe is these days, right? Hold on, listen to this.
I'll answer the last question since I didn't hear any of it. I didn't understand a word of it, so I'll answer it.
He's going to answer the question that I didn't understand a word of.
I'll understand the last question, although I didn't understand a word of it. That's one of the things he said during his news conference with Macron yesterday. It doesn't matter. My point is, I don't blame Macron for wanting to do things that are in the best interest of France, but what I also expect the president of the United States to do things that are in the best interest of the United States. That's what I saw in Trump. And you don't get that out of this administration at all.
Here's my problem with Macron, which is he's not even doing things that are in the best interests of France. He's not even doing things that are in the best interests of Macron. He's just an idiot. You know, because this is, I think, the problem with foreign policy. If you approach foreign policy from an ideological standpoint, which is I have a view in my head of how the world needs to work, and I'm going to ignore everything that doesn't meet that, and you ignore the reality of what's going on. You know, like the guy who goes outside and says it's not going to rain today and it's pouring rain. Yeah, I don't have an umbrella. You know, I have a raincoat because in my mind it's not going to rain. That's what gets you killed. And I don't care if it's on the left, on the right, if you're reflexively isolationist or if you're reflexively a neocon and want to bomb the world. The reality is in foreign policy, you have to deal with the world as it exists. France is not a great power. It can't act like one. Germany cannot have it every way they want. They can't be like writing checks or cashing checks from China and Russia and then thinking they're the leader of Europe. Biden cannot be the laziest good-for-nothing president in the history of America and think that he is leading this country and getting good things done. They can do it in their head, and it's fine, but it's not. But that's when I was changing the world. I mean, you have countries like Poland, which are hosting millions of refugees, doing everything possible to keep Ukraine in the fight. Ukrainians who are fighting and dying for their freedom. People of Taiwan who are literally kind of learning how to defend their own homeland now because they feel China. And these are people out there that are rolling up their sleeves and really doing the work of keeping their countries free and prosperous. And then we have these yahoos who just want to trade it away because it's just easy to do when you're not really – when you're responsible for it. You know, look, if you were Joe Biden, first of all, we wouldn't be having a coherent conversation.
No, this is true.
If you were Joe Biden, right, and you had the American taxpayer – as your ATM, and you can take out and withdraw anytime you want and never have to worry about the deposits and never really have to worry about the consequences of what you were doing because everybody just comes in the room and says, oh, Mr. President, you're doing wonderful. You'd be happy too. And you got, you know, every weekend off to go to the beach in Delaware. You'd be the happiest guy. Why shouldn't Joe Biden be pleased with himself as president?
It's a good point. Jim Carafano is my guest. Of course, foreign security, national security expert from the Heritage Foundation. Always great to get him on. Let's talk about Ukraine for a minute. You know, I've wondered what might happen next there. Some people have been calling for, a peace treaty or whatever the case may be. You got a piece out that says, could Ukraine take Crimea back? I mean, is this now in the realm of possibility?
To be honest, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, it's a 5-mile wide river. And to mass the amount of combat power that you would have to get across the river. I've been looking at everything I ever said. My reporting describing what's going on Ukraine's always been accurate. My predicting's actually been really bad. Because the war is a contest between, two sides and they make decisions. But this is a heavy lift. And the Russians are counterattacking the East, trying to draw the Ukrainians off, and they're really building up their defenses in the South. So I just think fighting their way across the river, that's a big a big challenge that I'm not sure is possible. And the other thing is from a geopolitical military strategic point, Crimea is really neutralized because Crimea is now in the range of all the Ukrainians' long-range weapons. So its utility as a military port, its utility as a sub-base, airplane, all that's at risk now. And so, in a sense, the Ukrainians have already taken away the great strategic advantages of the Russians holding on to Ukraine. In some ways, I think that's more important than actually regaining the territory itself.
Wow. Jim, how much money have we given to the Ukraine so far?
I think that in the military thing, we probably put in about $20 billion so far in military stuff, which, you know, I know, by the way, you know, people say that, gee, that's an awful lot of money. First of all, it is if you take the fraud, waste and abuse from all the COVID relief that Biden has done, that's actually not even close to the size of that. So in terms of big spending numbers, fraud on Biden's domestic programs are massively larger than what we're spending in Ukraine. And what I would say for the direct military that we've done there, we have done so much damage to the Russian military that the Russian military probably will not be able to invade another country for years. And so in terms of military assistance, it may be the most consequential military assistance that we've done in modern history.
$20 billion. How much has Europe given?
So the Europeans are really lagging is in civilian aid. And so they're about $10 billion behind what they promised the Ukrainians. And the reason for that is very complicated. Well, it's not very complicated. What the EU wants to do is they want to give the money to Ukraine and say that's an EU debt, which means they are taking out of the hands of the individual nation states the ability to define what their national debt is.
Well,
and so some countries like the Hungarians say, no, I don't mind giving money to Ukraine, but we'll give it as our money, and it's a national debt, so we can decide how big our debt is.
I know it's complicated, and I'm going to run out of time here, unfortunately. I just think that sticks in the craw of a lot of people over the difference in those numbers. Jim, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, my friend.
You bet. Jim Carafano. We're going to get to Missouri auditor, soon-to-be auditor, Scott Fitzpatrick. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I need a business partner with our fund managers. And what we're seeing right now, we're seeing a privilege to access capital. We're seeing Larry Fink pushing out an agenda that is not in the best fiduciary interest or the bottom line of the state of Florida. Costs of health care, roads, all these things are going up because of inflation that Washington's doing nothing about. So I've got to do everything in my power in the state of Florida. So I need somebody who's going to maximize the bottom line. And we just don't see that with BlackRock anymore. There's too many good other players out there that we can move our dollars to.
That is the CFO of Florida. They called the chief financial officer down there announcing that he's pulling money out of BlackRock over this whole ESG thing. We don't call it that in Missouri. We call it the treasurer, and he is Scott Fitzpatrick, soon to be the auditor in the state of Missouri. Scott, welcome back, and congratulations on your election.
Hey, thanks, man. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me some time this morning. I really do. So you did this back in October. Florida's now jumped on board. I mean, the concern was BlackRock is so huge, this may or may not have an impact on them in the long run. But at the end of the day, you're taking a stand, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because a lot of state treasurers, myself and others, have been frustrated with BlackRock because of their activism, you know, basically on social issues and environmental issues with the money they're managing on behalf of our states. And so we've started to do something about it. And a lot of states, like, I don't know what Jimmy did. I don't know if his funds were, I think they were treasury funds. We didn't have any funds in the state treasury. We never did business with BlackRock in the state treasury. What we removed were pension funds.
Okay.
And I agree with what you have said is that, you know, because they have $8 trillion in assets, they're the largest manager in the world. And really, getting pension plan assets to take a stand is really what's going to start moving the needle. And Missouri was the first pension plan, as far as I'm aware, that has expressly decided to remove its assets from BlackRock over ESG-related issues. And hopefully that will be something that other pension plans will begin to take notice of, because what they've done with the responsibility they've been given to manage these assets by these pension plans is that they've taken that and they've put the fiduciary duty to those pension plans in the back seat and put in the driver's seat non-financial factors that really shouldn't matter in the investment process. So, and things like racial equity audits, you know, forcing Apple to do a racial equity audit against the recommendation of the board of directors is one example. Forcing Chevron to try to reduce scope 3 emissions, which includes emissions that they can't even control because they're emissions from companies that are in their supply chain that they don't own or don't have direct control over. They voted for that against the recommendation of the board of Chevron. So there's lots of examples of activism out of BlackRock that has been damaging to shareholders.
So I guess my question might be, have they been asking those same questions to China? Because BlackRock invests a lot of money with China, right?
Right, and that's the hypocrisy, and you hit the nail on the head, Mark. I mean, the hypocrisy is astounding, because they will say to an American energy producer that you need to reduce your oil and natural gas production, you know, sell off your oil and natural gas assets. You need to focus on renewables, which, you know, I think that, you know, long term, you know, spending money on renewables, it can make some sense. But in the immediate near term, we're still consuming a lot of oil and natural gas. And these are the core business functions, you know, of companies like Exxon and Chevron. And the hypocrisy of it is they're saying that to the American energy companies, they're telling American banks to not finance, you know, coal producers. Meanwhile, they go to China and they are investing in, you know, Chinese energy companies that are the beneficiaries of the offloading of these energy assets by American companies, right?
Sure.
You know, if Exxon is going to offload an oil or gas project, somebody's picking that up. Well, guess who's picking it up? China. And yet BlackRock is investing in China without these same mandates related to climate. China is the world's largest offender or producer of carbon emissions, and they're currently building over 50 coal-fired power plants that are being built to be put into service in the future. And so, you know, the hypocrisy, the difference in how American companies are being treated by BlackRock and how Chinese companies are being treated by BlackRock is night and day. And it's a huge part of the problem.
Yeah, very true. Scott Fitzpatrick, my guest right now, currently Missouri treasurer, soon to be Missouri auditor. Let's talk about that transition for a minute. I know yesterday state senators could officially pre-file bills for the new session. What are you thinking about moving into the auditor's office? Do you have a specific game plan in mind?
Well, you know, we are going to look at, you know, the audit plan, number one. That's essentially the governing document in the auditor's office that sets the priorities and the time allocation of all the staff in the office as we move forward. And so we're in the process of going through their audit plan and all the transition materials that we've been supplied by the current auditor's office. And, you know, one of the big challenges the office is facing right now is similar to what a lot of businesses are facing, and that is a really substantial shortage of workforce. And they're down a lot of auditors that have not, you know, people have left and that haven't been replaced.
Wow.
And so first order of business is going to be to get the office staffed back to a normal level, and that's going to be a big task that we have to do. Because right now, I mean, it appears based on our research and what we've looked at, about 60% of the time, the man hours in the auditor's office right now are spent doing kind of the mundane required tasks, like the federal statewide single audit for all the federal funds we receive, which nobody is reading except for maybe some federal folks, and then the statewide financial statement. So that's 60% of the effort to the office right now. I want to get it into a position where we can focus on the things that are really gonna matter to taxpayers about how their money is being spent. You know, I talked a lot on the campaign about using the power of the auditor's office to audit school districts. Schools are the largest expenditure we make with our general revenue funds, and we don't audit hardly any of them. The current audit plan has no hours allocated for auditing school districts. There's not a single school district on that audit plan. And so, you know, we want to reshape that, reprioritize that, because people deserve to know that the massive amounts of money we're spending on educating our kids is being spent to educate those kids, and that it's being spent in the classroom, and it's being spent on the things that they need to know to get ready for the workforce, not, you know, being spent on bloated administrations or being spent to, you know, by racially divisive curriculum or gender theory curriculum that is indoctrinating kids. So
yeah,
we're going to look at that, and that's something that we'll prioritize when we get in there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, ultimately, those are decisions made by the local school boards. I know the sign-up period to run opens up here, I think, the 6th of December for people to run for school boards next year. So it's good to know going into it that they may see some additional interest from the auditor's office on some of these issues.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing, Mark, is that I've had school board members ask me, you know, since, you know, during the election time frame and since then, have contacted me saying we think you really need to come take a look at our school. And there are people who have come onto the board and have concerns about things that have happened in their school district maybe before they got there. But so there is not just me saying, oh, I think we need to audit schools. There is, you know, feedback from taxpayers and even people who are on school boards that they want to see a presence of the auditor's office in some of these school districts.
Yeah, it's overdue for sure. Scott Fitzpatrick, listen, congrats on your election, and thanks for giving me some time this morning.
Hey, good talking to you, man.
See you. Yep, we'll talk to you again soon. Great guy, Scott Fitzpatrick there. Like I said, soon to be the auditor of the state of Missouri, and I'm anxious to see what he's going to do in that role. Should be good. Coming up in the next hour, Congressman Jason Smith. We're going to talk about the House Ways and Means Committee. He's probably going to be taking that over as a chairman, I would hope. He should be in line to do that. And that is a powerful position in Washington in terms of controlling the purse strings. We'll get to all that and more coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
America can produce every drop of oil and natural gas that we need and have extra left over to sell to our friends. That presents a problem for President Biden because he has embraced the woke or berserk wing of the Democratic Party. And woke ideology says we have to get rid of oil and gas in the United States. So President Biden has developed a new energy policy, and it is this. Instead of producing at a cheaper cost our own oil and gas in America, we're going to buy oil from foreign countries that hate us, in this case, Venezuela. So those foreign countries will have more money to buy weapons to try to kill us. It's a moronathon.
Oh my gosh.
It's a moronathon. I've never heard that before, but he has some beauties, man.
Every single day, reality calls, and the Biden administration just hangs up.
Oh my God. He's good.
He's fantastic, man. Some of his colloquialisms are just the absolute best.
Who's drunk and who's just stupid?
Yeah.
Put down the bong. That's just not realistic.
Oh my,
well, we'll be in Missouri soon. Wait a minute. It's December 2nd. What almost date does marijuana become legal?
I believe it's the 6th.
I think you can start growing your own plants on the 6th and year.
Effectively, the day after the election. I smell it driving down the road. I smell it walking places now. I mean, the gig is already up. But we're like downtown Manhattan at this point. So I'm just pointing that out. I thought you'd enjoy that bite from Senator Kennedy there because he's
terrific.
He's absolutely terrific, for sure. Speaking of money, did you see the story about the guy from Delwood?
No, I
kudos didn't. To Channel 2 who reported this. A Delwood guy was in federal court Thursday. He admitted cashing his dead mother's Social Security checks which is not all that unusual.
For how long?
But he did it for 26 years.
Okay, whoa! That's not good.
The woman died March 12th, 1994, and he never reported it. And he opened up a bank account and had it deposited in there the whole every month for 26 years. And now he's going to go to the Hooskow for it. He's facing a decade in prison, a $250,000 fine, and he's going to have to repay the money. So I hope Mr. Begley enjoyed that. Reginald Begley.
$197,000? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yikes.
Stole almost $200,000 over that period of time. Hope he took some good vacations because now he's going to the big house. Yes. Coming up, we'll get to Congressman Jason Smith, our friend Ryan Wiggins. We have a special guest in the studio at 8:35 as well. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.